down the road, Children's Church. All right. Look at that good group of coming. Amen. Y'all have a good Children's Church. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, he is. He's a cutie pie, isn't he? All right, for the rest of you, let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading here in verse 35. We'll take it through verse 41. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35, taking it through verse 41. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Visitors, thank you so much for being here today. As was mentioned earlier, you are an answer to prayer. And I'll just let you in on I guess it's just well known around here. We stand when we read God's Word, and we preach God's Word without any apology in this place. The feel-good church is somewhere down the road. I don't know quite where it's at, but we are feeling good about Jesus, but we hear all of His Word here. Amen? Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35 and taking it on through to verse 41. If you found that this morning in the Gospel of Mark, would you say amen? The Word of God reads this: "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. We pray, as we have prayed, for an anointing upon today, upon your preached word, upon this time, upon these folks, upon this service. Lord, may it be a worship offering to you. Lord, so many things going on in the life of the church, Vacation Bible School coming up, and youth camp coming up, and men's and women's Bible study coming up, and just so many things to get to and to do. But Lord, may we stop. May we listen. May we focus. May we hear you today. May we hear you right now. May we be still in our hearts and have an open heart and ears to hear you. Father God, I pray that you would speak from your holy, your inerrant, your powerful word today to each and every heart here. Lord, there are those that need to make a change in their lives. There are those that need to lay some things down today in the altar. There are those that need to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. May they not say no to the prompting of the Holy Spirit today. May they not say no to the conviction of the Holy Spirit today. May they allow you, may they invite you, Jesus, into their heart to be their Savior and Lord. And for the saved and the redeemed, may we take the message out of here. May we be your spokesperson, your spokespeople, your spokeswomen and spokesmen as we leave this place today. May we be the witness, the testimony. May we be the evangelist you've called us to be. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for this time that you have provided and a dry place to worship in today. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. This is Break On Through to the Other Side, Part 2. We covered Part 1 last week, and we only had 2 points last week, and I'll review those with you here in a moment. But today we're going to have, I think it's about 5 points as we get on through to the other side. But this is a great passage, a great scripture. I love the story here. Amen? I love the storyline. Last week it was more about security. Jesus is in the boat, right? What I want you to understand is this. You've probably heard this before, but hear it one more time. In New Testament times, when these ships, when these small boats, these small vessels, not like what we have today, not like what you would go get on at Galveston or the Port of Houston to go on a cruise, and not like what you would see come in the Port of Houston, these huge mammoth super tankers, and we're talking much smaller. But when these ships would come to the various seaports, when they would come to the various harbors, I want you to understand they didn't have the dredging capability and the ability to clean out like what we get to see around here done, where they pump all this sludge and sand and everything out of the way so these boats can get through. A lot of these seaports, a lot of these harbors would be bordered by a sandbar underneath. And when the tide was out, the ships could not get in. But these sailors were smart. They knew if they could just get the anchor on the other side of the bar, it would be okay. So they would put the anchor in, if they had a dinghy, a little rowboat, they would make a makeshift barge and they would float the anchor off. And they would float it over the sandbar into the seaport, into the harbor, and they would let her sink right there. They would go back to the ship and they would take up the slack. And it didn't matter at that point if the rain came, if the wind came, if the waves came, because when the tide came back up, the boat would follow that anchor into harbor, into the seaport. And what we said last week is that Jesus is our anchor. Jesus is our security. Jesus is our guarantee. Amen? You want Him to be in the ship. You want Him on board in your life. You want Jesus there. We said last week that the journey of the boat that we're talking about here in the passage, the journey of the boat is a picture of the journey of life. We're going, we started someplace, and we're heading someplace. And if you're saved today, you know where you're heading, amen? You are glory-bound, heaven-bound, you've been sealed for the day of redemption, you're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But friend, I want to tell you, if you're not saved, let me give you the flip side. Let me give you the other part of that. If you're not saved, you stand condemned already. If you're not saved, you are destined to a place called hell that's spoken of in the Bible, spoken more of in the Bible than heaven is spoken of. And friend, hell's not a party. You'll be the only one that knows that you're in hell. You won't say, hey, I can't believe you're in hell with me. It's utter darkness. You will not see past your nose that you're in hell. Well, how can it be and the flame burn? I don't know, but the Bible says it's dark. And the Bible says it's a flame. And the Bible says you have this sense that you're falling all the whole time. Hell's not a party. You'll be the only one that knows you're there. And you'll be miserable. So take Christ today if you're lost. Pastor, you're trying to scare me into heaven? Friend, I'm trying to be honest with you about hell. And honest with you about who your Savior could and should be. Amen, church? So when Jesus is on board, we said last week, we have a sense of direction. We also said last week, a lot of folks do not know. They don't know where they're going. Oh, they know where they're going after the service. They know where they're going on Monday morning, but they don't ultimately know why they're here, why God's put them here, why they were born on this earth, what they're supposed to be doing. They don't have a clue. Secondly, we said last week, we said the journey of life produces anxieties. Can I get an amen on that? I want to tell you, the journey of life produces anxieties as I go through the storms of life. We are either in a storm, just out of a storm, or dear friend, we're about to go into another storm. And I think if you've lived here in the last 2 weeks too much, you know what I'm talking about. It's one right after another, isn't it? Right? This storm in this passage in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35 through 41, this storm in this passage came up suddenly. I mean sudden, as was common on the Sea of Galilee and as representative as what happens in our lives. Storms come up quickly without warning, do they not? Amen? Well, as we move on to it this morning and get to the juxtaposition of the matter, there are several reasons why storms come into our lives. Listen closely. Some are the result of our own disobedience. Others are caused by the Lord's discipline. And friends, some are demonic in origin. Did you know that? Some of the storms that you face in life, they are flat out demonic in origin. First of all, if you're taking notes, number one, sometimes we cause the storm ourselves. Sometimes we just flat, we make it, we bake it, and we eat it. We make the bed and we get to lie in it. I'm telling you, sometimes we cause the storms ourselves. If you think back to Jonah, good old Jonah, man, what happened to Jonah? That was true in Jonah's life, was it not? He caused his own storm. God said, you go this way. Jonah said, I'm not going to go that way. God said, you go preach to the Ninevites. Jonah said, I don't like the Ninevites. I'm not going. Can't make me go. What are you going to do about it, God? Right? The devil made it very convenient for old Jonah, did he not? A ship was going just when he needed an escape from doing God's will, and Jonah hopped on board. He got his boarding pass, and there he was. He got out there on the ship, and the Bible says that the Lord hurled a great wind, and when the sailors came to Jonah, Jonah admitted to the fact that the storm was his fault. His fault. Sometimes by our disobedience, we create our own storm. Secondly, this morning, if you're writing any of this down, sometimes the Lord will bring, goes real close to point one, but sometimes the Lord will bring a storm into your life in order to discipline you. I think that's what was going on in Jonah's life, don't you think? Right? Yeah. Have you ever noticed when things are going well that you and me and people that you know that claim to be Christians and saved, when things are going real well, you tend to get a little too self-confident, don't you? Oh, man, you have the world on a string, and you've got it on a downhill pull. It's just going gravy for you. It's just gravy. You're feeling good. Everything is great. And you know what? You know what we do? We all have a tendency to neglect our prayer life when things are going really great, don't we? We have a tendency to just kind of put that on the shelf. Oh, God, I've got it all under control. Things are going great right now. Or we have a tendency to do what? We get out of the Word of God when we ought to be in the Word of God. Oh, and then what happens? Well, we quit praying and we quit reading. And we find ourselves laying out of church, right? We start worshiping on that pillow, don't we? Right? I'll just turn over and catch a few more Z's. Amen. I'll get me some good TV preaching today. It'll be okay, Lord. It'll be okay. We just kind of lay out, forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And then God stirs up a little storm. Have you noticed how all of a sudden those kind of things get you back on track? Man, you start praying again. You get on your knees before God. You start reading again. Amen. And you find yourself back in the middle of God's will as you go back to church. Amen. Am I the only one? I guess I'm the only one. You know what I'm talking about? You feeling it? Okay, brother. Sometimes I am the only one, but I want to spread it all around if we can. Amen. Right. Sometimes God gives you a storm to draw you closer to Him. You know what I praise God for? I praise God that some of us have the sense to know that He's drawing us back and we get on back where we belong. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Number three, if you're writing this down, some storms evidently are produced by the demonic, produced by the devil. In verse 39, if you'll look there with me, Jesus says, what does He do? Jesus rebuked the wind in verse 39, right? He rebuked it and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea. He rebuked the wind. This same Greek word that we get these three little English words out of, rebuked the wind, this same word is what Jesus used when He rebuked the demons. It's the same Greek word that He used when He rebuked the fever in Peter's mother-in-law. Same word. In verse 39, when He says, peace, be still, this could also be translated as be muzzled. Be muzzled. Shut your mouth. Zip it. Be muzzled. See, the storm here is pictured for us like a wild, demonic animal that needs to be brought under control. And Jesus is the one bringing it under control. Amen? Friend, I have no doubt that at times the demonic whips up storms in your life, whips up storms in my life, whips up storms in our church life in order to hinder, in order to harm a child of God. But praise God, we serve someone stronger and greater than that. Amen? And He's here to protect us and to help us through if we will just simply turn to Him. But friend, be advised and be sobered up this morning. We still have a personal enemy. And he wants to get us. The devil wants to destroy our testimony. He knows he cannot drag us to hell any longer, but he wants to render us ineffective for the cause of Christ. The demonic is alive. The demons are real. And you be prayed up, you be read up, and you be worshipped up. Amen? You be ready for the battle. Notice the presence of Jesus on the boat did not keep the storm from coming. Jesus is on that boat, but here comes the storm anyway. The Bible says that our Father in heaven causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, "Into each life some rain must fall." Boy, that's been true around here. Amen? Into each life some rain must fall. What I'm saying to you is anguish knocks at every heart, doesn't it? Anguish knocks at every heart. Pain makes its way into every home. Sooner or later, it's coming. Well, you better be grounded. You better be what? Prayed up. You better be what? Read up. And you better be what? Worshipped up. Because it's coming. It's coming. As we move on through this, sometimes we cause the storms ourselves. Sometimes the Lord will bring a storm into your life in order to discipline you. Sometimes these storms are produced by the devil. As we move on through this passage this morning, the mastery of the Savior over the storms of life. We have the mastery of the Savior over the storms of life. If we're saved today, we have access to the mastery of the Savior over the storms of life. Verses 38 through verse 41. Oh, you know this story. I'm not telling you anything new about this story. Jesus was sleeping, and his disciples, on the other hand, were panicked. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Notice that Jesus was not awakened by the thunder. He's not awakened by the lightning. He's not awakened by the howl of wind. He's not awakened by the sound that the wave makes as it breaks over the top of the boat, as it breaks on the keel, as the wave slaps the gunwales of the boat. He's not awakened by that. Oh no, he's awakened by his disciples. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Have you ever said that to Jesus? I know I have. Let's just be, what does Brother Larry say? Judgment day honest? Yeah. Let's just be judgment day honest. Have you ever said that to Jesus? I know I have, right? "Lord, don't you care?" Or we'll say it like this, "Aren't you concerned, God? Don't you know what I'm going through, Lord?" Those disciples, you know what they were doing, and you know what we do when we say that? When we think that, when we pray that, you know what we're doing? We are rebuking Jesus. Can you believe that? Well, we got to confess that and repent of that, don't we? Amen? Some down in the altar here. Yeah, keep your sin account short. That's what we're doing. We are rebuking our wonderful Lord. We, the folks that He saved, when we say that, think that, pray that, act that, we are rebuking our Savior. We ought not rebuke Him. Amen? We ought to worship Him in spirit and truth. Amen? It's a good point to say hallelujah, glory, stomp your feet, clap your hands. That's a good place to do that. Amen? Amen? Well, come on. These disciples were saying, don't just lie there, Jesus. Do something. Do something. Why would these disciples question Jesus' concern? Why would they do that? Verse 40 tells us why. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Wow, there it is, isn't it? How is it that ye have no faith? Wow. Well, verse 40 lays it out. Why would they question? Why would Jesus' disciples question? Man, they are overwhelmed with what? They are overwhelmed with fear. Fear overwhelmed their little faith, which is described by Jesus as no faith at all. Boy, that's amazing to me. In verse 40, Jesus puts two things in opposition, two things that are mutually exclusive. Fear on the one hand, faith on the other. Wow. Those two things stand in opposition, don't they? See, fear is looking at the storm. Faith is trusting in a Savior. Fear is looking at the circumstances. Faith is trusting in God. Are you feeling it today? Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Are we trying to get there with us? Are everybody on the same page? So the question is this. Why could they not trust in God when they had seen so much of what Jesus had done? What is the malfunction? What is the disconnect? Why can't they get there? Think about it. Think about it. These disciples had seen the miracles of Christ already. The demonstrations of His power. They had heard the words of Christ, a demonstration of His love. They had spent time with the Messiah, with Jesus. They had rubbed elbows with Him. They had eaten with Him. They had walked along the way with Him. They had seen Him handle people and heal people and touch people and love on people. They had spent time with Him, which demonstrated His sacrifice. He left heaven and glory for them and for us. He took on human flesh. Frail flesh that can bleed and die. Jesus took that on for them and for you and for me. Why did they not get it? Why did they allow, in the midst of this crisis, why did they allow fear to take over? They were afraid in the storm. I have been afraid in the storm. You, if you were honest, would say, I've been afraid in the... We have been afraid in the... Why are we sometimes afraid in the storm? There was no need for them to be afraid. You say, but Pastor, they were afraid. Why? Well, let me tell you why they shouldn't have been afraid. Let me tell you why they should have just held on. Jesus had given them His Word. It all comes down in this story to His Word. Peace be still. Be quiet. Be muzzled. Be still and shut up. Right? Basically what He told the weather pattern. Right? Be still and be muzzled. Right? Jesus had already given them His Word. He did not say to them, hey, let's get in the boat and get the rest of these little boats. And let's head over. And by the way, I can kind of see off in the distance, since I'm the Son of God, I see a storm brewing over Mount Hermon that's going to rush down. And the cold air is going to mix with this hot, humid air. And there's going to be a thunder boomer. I mean, I'm telling you, it's going to get on. And that thing's going to build to about 60,000 feet up in the stratosphere. And it's going to produce these outflow boundaries and winds and rain. And we're going to sink and drown and die right there in the middle. He didn't say that, did he? He said, let's get on over to the other side. He had already given them His Word. See, faith is taking Jesus at His Word. You know what I need sometimes? I need somebody to remind me of that. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm on the front line. I don't have a sniping rifle. I've got a Colt 45 and an M1 carbine, and it's hand-to-hand combat and the bayonet's on, and I'm watching brothers fall by the wayside and get called home to glory, and watching marriages fall apart and kids make the wrong decisions, and man, it's just so much pressure and trying to get people saved and tell them about Jesus. Sometimes I need somebody to tell me that. Amen? Or pray that. We'll let our pastor know that He can take Jesus at his word. You say, Pastor, you think he would know that? I mean, you're preaching three times a week. You think he would know what you're saying? Well, you think the disciples would know it. They spent 24/7 with Christ all the time. They didn't get it. We all need to be reminded of it. Amen? We all need to love each other enough that when we see one another struggling, we can come up alongside. And if we can't say it to the face, we can at least pray it in the background, that that brother or sister would take Jesus at his word. See, just reading your Bible, just reading it, praise God for reading it, but just reading it is not quite enough. You say, what do you mean? You must live the Word of God, church. You must live the Word of God until your life reflects the Word of God. We're going on to the other side. Amen? We're going to glory. This is not our home. Faith is taking God at His Word. Faith is living His Word out. For these disciples in our passage this morning, had they internalized better the word that they had already heard and experienced, then they would not be afraid. You know what they would have done? Well, the boat's filling up, boys, but the Savior ain't awake yet. I guess we just kind of hold on. Let's grab hands and grab hold of the side of the boat. And he said we're going to the other side. I guess this is the quickest way to the other side. With a 40-mile-an-hour or 50-mile-an-hour gale pushing you to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. Right? Well, that's the message for us, isn't it? If we would just internalize better the Word of God that we hear preached, the Word of God that we hear in Sunday school, the Word of God that we Bible study, the Word of God that we have in our personal devotions, if we would just internalize it better, then when things come against us, we'd be able to stand stronger. Amen? Well, I think there's a message in here for each and every one of us. Sometimes we cause the storms ourselves. Sometimes the Lord will bring a storm into your life in order to discipline you. Some storms evidently are produced by the devil. But hey, the mastery of the Savior over the storms of life is available to me and you. But as we move on through the passage, Jesus, oh, take this home with you today. Mark this up in your word today. Jesus is sufficient for our storm. He is sufficient. Verse 39, and he arose. They woke him up. He arose. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. When a problem rises up in your life, turn to Jesus. Jesus will rise up. Turn to Jesus. When Jesus rose up in the storm, the wind fell. The sea became calm. And I tell you, what ought to blow your mind today, it ought to blow your mind. You ought to say, man, it ought to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. What should just give us all this morning, just all inspiring worship today, is that not only the winds immediately quieted down, not only the winds, but so did the waves. So did the waves. Generally, for those of us who have experience on the water, after the winds have diminished, after the winds die down, oh, friend, the water continues to roll. The waves continue to beat back and forth, the surging and the subsiding because the wind has put so much energy into the water. But not here. In an instant, the twinkling of an eye, the winds and waves synchronize, stop together in a symphony of a solemn silence. That's amazing to me. When we that boat, those of you that get out on a boat, when you see that kind of water, we say it's water like glass. We look at one another, who's going to be first on the skis? Amen? It's water like glass. There's nobody around. It's glass. I can ski forever on glass. When the wake boats come around and they've got it all stirred up like the ocean, I can't ski very long. But when it's like glass, oh, I look like I looked when I was back in my 20s, man. I can rooster tail that water and drop one off and get all jiggy with it. Oh, but not when it's rough. got to be like glass. That's what we say. It's like glass. Let me tell you something, friend. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Let me tell you something about my Jesus. Let me tell you something about your Jesus. I would rather be in a storm with a sufficient Jesus than in a calm anywhere else without my Lord and Savior. Amen? He is sufficient for our storms. See, praise God. Safety is not the absence of the storm. Safety is the presence of a sufficient Jesus. And boy, you take comfort in this today. Look at verse 40 with me. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? They rebuked him. Carest thou not that we perish? They were panicked. They were frightened. Some of them were probably angry. They rebuked their Lord and Savior. He does not rebuke them at all. He gives them a loving reproach. Reproach and rebuke, two different things. He gives them a loving reproach. The sufficient Savior does not rebuke. He does not browbeat, but he lovingly reproaches them, holds them accountable. He's holding them accountable, but he is not piling it on. The disciples had accused the master of indifference. The disciples had accused him of hard-heartedness, of not being concerned about them in verse 48. And what a marvelous comfort to us to grasp that Jesus never rebuked them for the grim, thoughtless words, don't you care that we are perishing? See, Jesus' sufficiency today should move us to worship, should move us to awe. Verse 41 says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? See, the disciples had been frightened by the storm. Now they were filled with awe. Now they were filled with a holy fear, a good fear, because of how his sufficiency to suddenly, to completely and dramatically still the storm. Whoom, it's done. The disciples, in response to Jesus' sufficiency, were moving. They were moving to the right conclusion, but they had not arrived there yet. They had not arrived there yet, hence they asked the question, what manner of man is this? These men were still what? What was going on in their hearts? What was going on in their minds? I can't know for sure, but this is what I think. These men were still too timid to rely upon Jesus' sufficiency. They did not receive the comfort and confidence that was theirs in the midst of the storm. They were too timid. When did their timidity end? Their timidity ended when he arose. When he arose and he came back, that's when the timidity was gone. Friend, Jesus has arose. Let your timidity fall by the wayside. My Savior and your Savior has arose. He has ascended. He is at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for you and for me. Amen? That's who my Jesus and your Jesus is today. See, our confidence and comfort in the midst of the storms is derived from Jesus' presence. He's here with us today via the Holy Spirit. It is derived from Jesus' promises. He's promised to take us on to the other side. Amen. It is derived from Jesus' power. He's resurrected from the grave, defeating death, sin, and hell. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, we've got it good today. Our confidence and comfort in the midst of the storms is derived from Jesus' love. Oh, he loves us dearly. Amen. He loves us dearly. The disciples, as some of us, are sometimes too hesitant to realize that the Father's loving care was bestowed upon them through the Son. Oh, Jesus, God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. Amen? The last thing I want you to see, and then we're going to be done with this passage. It's taken us two Sundays to get through it. We'll be on to chapter 5. The last thing I want you to get is in verse 40, where it says, "How is it? Why are ye so fearful? How is it?" Don't let those three little words pass you by. How is it? Do not let this little phrase escape you this morning. How is it? By using this phrase, Jesus is teaching. This is what he's trying to get across to his disciples. He's trying to communicate to them that the experiences of life are sent to men with a purpose. Oh, friend, there's a purpose. There's a purpose and a plan by what we go through. There's a purpose and a plan. Even when we mess it up, God takes it and has a good purpose for it. Amen? Our experiences must be used to our good advantage. We have got to learn to capitalize on the things that happen to us for our furtherance and becoming more like Jesus Christ. We've got to do it. Amen? Because I'm telling you, the bad things ain't going to stop. One day they will. We won't be here, probably. We won't be here, but the bad things one day will stop. The pain and the suffering will end, but we'll be on the other side of glory, I'm afraid. I'm afraid when all that gets going. See, Joseph understood what I'm talking to you about. Joseph in the Old Testament, David in the Old Testament, he finally understood what I'm talking to you about. The man born blind in the Gospels, oh, he understood what I'm talking to you about. The Apostle Paul, he finally grasped it. Amen? These disciples we're reading about, they finally came around. But each and every one of us have got to come around too. Amen? Soon the rest of Jesus' disciples would understand this, and hopefully all of us here today will understand that God uses for our benefit and for our furtherance in becoming more like His Son. He uses these things that come against us. He uses these storms. In verse 41, these hardcore, hardworking men ask the question, "What manner of man is this?" The disciples, in a holy, awestruck fear, were impressed beyond measure. We've been on this water a long time. We fished these waters our whole lives, and we've never seen wind and waves stop like that. Not on the command of one man. Because that man was God. That man was God. My hope and prayer for you, as I prayed over this last night, as I thought about this message this morning, my prayer and hope for you is that through the preaching of His Word and the presence of His Holy Spirit here today and the love of God's people among you here this morning, that if you are lost, you will be so impressed with this Savior, the Savior of this Word, that you will allow Him to press into your heart and to become your Savior and Lord for all eternity. Friend, He is the God-man. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is sent by God the Father to die on the cross for mine and your sins, to keep us all out of a devil's hell that was created for the devil and the demonic. We're not supposed to be in hell. We're supposed to be in glory with our Savior, with our Creator, with our God, with our Master. That's where we're supposed to be. But it takes us making that choice when the Holy Spirit convicts us to choose. So if you're lost today, if you've got that pit in your stomach today, if you don't know for certain today, don't be like Muhammad Ali. Oh, don't be like that dear brother. All the good things that he did, he thought he was earning his way. He said, "If there's a heaven, I'm doing all these things because one day I want to see it." Oh, friend, you don't have to live that way. You do not have to live that way. The Bible says you can know. You can know that you're saved. Amen? You can know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Oh, have the assurance. Have the guarantee. Have the right destination. Amen? So we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We're thanking you for your word. We're thanking you for your presence. We're thanking you for your anointing over today's services. And Lord, we're praying for those that are lost. We're praying for those that need to make decisions of salvation. We're praying for those that need to make confession and repentance. We're praying for those that need to join the church. We're praying for those that have received you, Lord, but have never followed you in believer's baptism. Lord, in a few moments when we stand and Brother Jeremiah and Miss Karen lead us during this time of invitation, Lord, I just pray that you would draw to your side those that need to make decisions. Lord, may they glorify you with decisions today, a salvation, somebody with a breakthrough, they're finally letting go of a sin, confessing it, turning from it, moving on from it, maybe a relationship made right. Lord, whatever needs to happen, may we be submissive. May we be surrendered to your will. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. If you'll stand with us all over the sanctuary, the altars are open, and I'll be down front. You come. Let me tell you about Christ.